Step into the wealth elevator and join our 12,000 plus member community who have passively invested over $200 million to acquire over $2.1 billion in commercial real estate. Sign up by going to thewealthelevator.com/club, and here we go.
For a limited time, until I kick off my deal hunting season next year, I want to get on a call with as many Simple Passive Cashflow listeners who I have not connected with yet. I want to see if there's any way I can help or at least demystify this world of real estate investing to expedite you on the road to financial freedom. New friends, book a call at simplepassivecashflow.com/talk.
This is a story about a dude named Lane. He moved to the mainland and bought one place to stay. And then one day he went and tried to rent them out. And then he became one real investor man.
Hey guys, this is Lane with the Simple Passive Cashflow Podcast. Today we got Robert McCann, the multifamily investor also that I met through kind of my travels. We both do a little bit of the same thing, but he's got a little bit of a more interesting background. And today's going to be a deep dive into the topic of e-commerce websites. Here's kind of the overview from the investor's perspective. You know how you buy a single family home, it's distressed and you fix it up. Well, think of it like the website is sort of distressed or mismanaged, or there can be some value add. So that's kind of the business that Robert's in today. Why don't you give us a little bit of your corporate backstory there, Robert, and just so people get a sense of where you're coming from.
I grew up in fairly rural and humble circumstances. After college, I went to law school in New York City. And in New York City, I found a home and was able to work in a big law firm in with New York offices. So I had offices in New York, Washington, D.C., and London. And there I did mostly Wall Street work. And my big client was a company called Bear Stearns, which you may remember from, they were the first investment bank to go down in 2008, go bankrupt anyway. They stopped being my client long before then, thank goodness. But I did that for about 8 years. And moved on to energy, or got involved in the internet boom, was counsel to a number of companies that spun off from a company at that time called AOL, which is now AOL Time Warner, and worked a lot with new technology executives trying to build up this thing called the internet. And then from there, worked for an energy trading company that bought the assets from Enron when Enron went bankrupt. And was able to capitalize on that. Worked for a hedge fund. Then a few years ago, my wife and I decided to go to a more rural setting, similar to where we grew up. And I've been in Omaha, Nebraska for over the last for the last 5 or 6 years.
Well, is that kind of home for you, or?
No, but it was closer to home, and it was the right job opportunity popped up, and so we took advantage of it. We're a quick plane ride away from where we both grew up.
Cool. So where does the real estate investing kind of come in? Did you do the internet stuff before, or was it after?
My first venture into the internet stuff was mostly on the legal side. I was helping people set up stock option plans, set up their companies and that type of thing. And that was about 10, 15 years ago. Well, 15 years ago now. I started multifamily investing when we moved here to Omaha, mostly as a hobby. And I saw that there were certain markets that were, the biggest one being the Dallas-Fort Worth area. Another one was the western portion of South Carolina. There were just a few areas that just really took off. And so I focused on that for, I would say, most of the last 5 years. And it's clear that cap rates have compressed to the point where they're probably the best they're going to be in my lifetime. And so about a year ago, I started looking for alternatives to multifamily investing, because the cap rates were just so high, it was super expensive. Cap rates were so low, and the prices, you know, relatively high. So I started looking around for alternative investments, and I tried a different things. And this was, I had a friend suggest to me, hey, why don't you look at buying websites that are already producing money? And it's a higher risk investment than real estate, but it's also a lot more fun. So I started looking at that and saw that the multiples there were, of EBITDA were frankly low compared to corporations, smaller companies that you buy, and then real estate that you buy. So I thought, why not? I'll give it a shot. And about over a year ago, I bought my first site, And I was surprised at how well it was, has been doing. It's performing extremely well. And the model was similar to real estate in that I hired a asset manager or a website manager to take care of the website for me. And that asset manager gets a piece of the profits of what I make. So they're properly incentivized. And it's just been a great model. It's been exciting. And so I did my second investment. I got a group of family and friends together in last fall, and we bought a larger website. And that seems to be going really well.
We'll kind of catch people up. Catching on what we're talking about, we're kind of talking about like mom-pa investing for websites here. Yeah. Maybe kind of go over the amount of capital needed to do this.
Okay. The first one, well, first of all, it's a higher risk investment because unlike property, you know, the website can disappear from day one to day two, whereas property, the earth generally isn't going to go anywhere unless there's a huge earthquake or a volcanic eruption, which in Texas, there are very few volcanic eruptions.
Right, right. And I'll interject right there. You know, that's kind of why a lot of people, they come to real estate as sort of the end game. Right. You know, a lot of people that I'll have, you know, I still do those free intro calls to learn people's stories. And a lot of stories of, you know, they either have a lot of money, you know, they got hundreds and hundreds in their 401k, and they got to put it into a hard asset, or a lot of business owners too. That's why I was kind of curious if you kind of did the website stuff first or the real estate, but it seems like all roads sort of lead to the real estate as an end game. It's more of a conservative play. You don't make gobbles and gobbles of money, but it's a safer thing.
Yeah, it's definitely a safer thing. And if the property does, or the investment ends up not working out, you've always got the hard dirt as security, depending on the strength of the loan that you have and the amount of the loan that you have on the asset. Because websites are a little higher risk, right now we don't lever that at all. It's just we invest capital and we don't take any loans, don't take on any debt, because that would make a already risky investment or a more risky investment.
Take us through the first transaction. You know, how much was it? And then where did you find this thing? What website does somebody go to?
The first thing I was looking for is a niche, something that was very specific, something that wasn't going to go away, regardless of the economy and how, having lived through 2008, I lost essentially half my portfolio value in 2008. I'm a little bit risk averse and try not to lose money whenever I can. In fact, that's my first rule of investing is don't lose any money. But there are several websites or brokers that you can go to. Flippa is one. That's the one that I use. There are several others which I can provide to you, Lane, and you can provide to your viewers and your listeners. And they're, what they do, it's like a typical real estate broker website in that they just put up, Flippa puts up on their marketplace the different websites that are for sale, and it talks a little bit about the characteristics and the number of investors, and then not the number of investors, but the number of visitors. It goes through all the analytics, the amount of money that it's making, the cost, and you start your due diligence just like you would on a real estate or a piece of real estate property, and you can verify different things, and so verify their numbers. You can go to Google Analytics to make sure that the number of sessions they have are correct and how long those sessions are. And you can get bank account statements to see, you know, if AdWords is their source, you know, how much AdWords is depositing in their account and pursuant to, you know, which visits. For me, the big issue was topic. And so I began brainstorming and brainstormed with everybody that I knew, hey, what's something that's going to stick around? It's going to be here regardless of, you know, we're in a great economy or a poor economy. What's something that people are going to have an interest in and going to continue to buy things for? And what we came up with was nursing. And by nursing, I mean breastfeeding. And so when women breastfeed after giving birth, there's a number of products that they need or that makes breastfeeding easier. There's a number of, especially if you're a woman who's working, there are a number of items you need to pump breast milk, and to keep it and to do it in a way that's sufficiently private, but also sufficiently effective. And so
you've obviously become an expert in this, right?
I am actually. Well, yes, it's a beautiful thing. I've hired somebody to add content. The woman who adds content is very passionate about breastfeeding, incredibly competent at writing, and she creates content for the website. And then we just link, if we review certain products like breast pumps or pads or creams, we just link to, right now it's Amazon. And if somebody buys off, that product pursuant to that link, then we get a piece of the profit. It's just, and that's the business model. It's as simple as that. And I'm just surprised at how, I'm very surprised at the return that we're getting. It's double digit returns. And that doesn't seem to be going anywhere soon. And so that's what made me excited about it and made me think, well, maybe there's an opportunity here. And that's what led to my...
I was always frustrated by the numerous investing education programs out there who gouge their investors, charging them $5,000, $10,000, $25,000, even $40,000. I don't know about you, but I thought it was completely wrong when they tricked people, actually had them call their credit card providers to get a credit line increase to pay for the program. Many of these people could not afford these expensive coaching options and should have used it as a down payment for the first investment. If someone only had 20 grand, they should use that to buy a rental to get started. Let me make one thing clear. Our mastermind is not for you if you're broke. It's a cost-effective way to mitigate mistakes when building your portfolio. People in this group are going to be a pre-selected population of professionals and high net worth individuals. You'll be a good in company. That is after you apply and get in at simplepassivecashflow.com/journey. And yeah, if you're lonely and struggle to find motivated friends who want to do more than sit at their W-2 jobs collecting a paycheck, then go home and watch Netflix all day because all they can afford is $8.99 a month on their digital entertainment budget, then this is a place for you too. simplepassivecashflow.com/journey.
Just so we don't leave the listeners at home. So we kind of mentioned a couple terms there. First, content marketing. So Robert's paying for some gal to type up some articles for him. So that's supposedly supposed to rank on Google or draw people to the site to get traffic to the site. How'd you find that person? Is it American or?
She's an American. She's out of Pennsylvania. She's a stay-at-home mom. She was a friend of a friend. I did put out the word that I'm looking for someone who is a good writer. I went on what used to be Odesk. I forget who acquired Odesk, but went there asking for referrals. I also went to several colleges in Pennsylvania asking if they had referrals for professional writers. Basically the English departments there. And then I went to, and through a friend of a friend, I found her. She's incredibly sharp, incredibly competent. And anyway, she blew me away. So I'm fortunate to have her.
And you're paying per word or per hour? Is that how, and what kind of hourly rate or
article? As we started getting more sophisticated on the Google searches and the specific Google searches we were looking for, she started to become very skillful at figuring out which articles would rank number one in the Google search. And at that time, I started paying her percentage. So, whatever. So let's say she writes an article on breast pumps or a certain brand of breast pumps. And, we make $100 through those, the referrals, she'll get $10.
Okay, so it slowly became a sort of a sales commission or actually an equity partner in a way, right?
Yeah, for those specific products. And, we have limits on how much she can make and over what time that she is definitely incentivized to create new content and to have that new content refer traffic to products about it. And she's fantastic. She's gotten after me a few times not paying attention close enough. And
the other thing that we're chatting about there was this term called affiliate marketing. And I think a lot of times this affiliate marketing is kind of the dark side of the internet. It's kind of sales gone bad where guys will just build up this huge audience around just random people and sell other people's products and pick a commission, maybe like 5% or 10% or whatever. And that's essentially what you guys are doing. You guys are drawing traffic in, sending it to Amazon and picking up a few pennies off every transaction. And it's kind of like what I do on my website a little bit. Although I only get like, you guys come to the website, there's this kit link, bunch of cool books to read, some cool gadgets and gizmos that I have on my products tab. And you get, people will click on it and I'll make like a $25 Amazon gift card every quarter or something like that. It's like, apparently you guys don't buy much. Like, it's not a third targeted thing, obviously, or maybe it is, or just, you guys just aren't clicking on that stuff. But that's kind of how the internet works, right? Draw traffic, and that's what an affiliate website is.
Key to getting high traffic for these content marketing websites is getting the right Google search and being number one or number two ranked for that Google search. So you have to do a lot of Google Analytics.
Acquiring that website, like how much was it to acquire it, and is there any debt associated?
So no debt. So I'll answer that right up front. I'm just have seen so many bad things happen in my career with people being overlevered. I'm just not a big fan of debt for personal investments. This one cost a couple $100,000, and this initial one cost that much. And what we did is we found the website, or I found the website on Flippa, and started my search and looked at, you know, I asked for specific things like I mentioned, bank account information, Google Analytics, seeing how long their visits were. I looked at their search engine optimization. After I did the research, I saw what they were making. I'll just give you the full numbers. They were making roughly about $10,000 a month after expenses. And so the market price at that time was about 20 times monthly expenses. Now, if you're going to buy a small business or even a larger business, you look at about 8 times to 10 times EBITDA. And so, you know, I'm paying, you know, less than 2 times EBITDA. So let me step back. I'm mixing up numbers here that might confuse people. When you're buying a larger business, you look at annual EBITDA. And so if you're paying 10 times EBITDA for a business, you're paying essentially 120 times monthly EBITDA.
So what does that stand for?
Earnings before income tax, depreciation, and I forget what the A stands for. But that's basically your profitability. Basically your cost minus expenses.
Similar to like a cap, like how you just apply a cap to a property.
Basically, it's a measure of profitability. And so with websites, because they're a smaller business, they're usually cash businesses. You can see, okay, here's what our revenue was, here's what the costs are, and then that split. And so the market price now for a website that's fairly profitable is between 20 and 24 times the monthly profit that website makes. And so they're basically selling at about 20 to 25% of what the value of an ongoing larger business.
So this thing is making 10 grand a month, mm-hmm. So 120 grand a year. Take us through the calculation.
The market price generally is about 20 times the monthly profit. 10 times 20 is 200,000. And since that time, we've been able, just like a property, we're able to optimize it for traffic and content.
Is the game plan to kind of just sell it at once you hit a certain point? You know, because like apartments, like, you know, what you're trying to do is you're trying to double your investors' money, right? So that's
right.
Kind of taking, maybe bumping your value up by like 10, 20% or so to get that?
This isn't going to be a longer play for us. This is going to be a cash flow play, and we're going to keep it probably for at least 5 years. I would analogize this. We bought the property, or we bought the website essentially as a Class C property. We've moved it up to a Class B, and I don't know yet if we have the skills to move it up to a Class A property, or, you know, super high. And so at that point, we may need to sell.
Right. It's similar to like a... you know, you're putting together a Class B apartment building. You do the rehab. You can't really make it much nicer. So, like, you know, you're taking your breastfeeding website and you do the affiliate marketing, you do the content producing. I mean, really, there's not much more you can do, right? I mean, maybe you and I can get together and make a podcast on it or something right. Like that, right? But
we do have three women who are making videos for the website, video content. And there are things that you can do to make the content souped up. But ultimately, if we were to sell this, it would probably have to go to a somebody that could tuck it in nicely to their larger business of servicing women who are have just given birth.
So at what point do you think about maybe putting debt on this thing? Or is debt available to be able to cash flow long term once you stabilize it?
Banks are just getting into the cash flow game, or excuse me, just getting into the website game. Give me 25% of annual profits in debt. And another one offered me 30%, but they both wanted a personal guarantee, meaning that I would have to back up the loan. So it wasn't really a loan for the website. It was a loan off of my individual credit.
So the game for you is mostly stabilize it, and if it's cash flowing, keep it. But if not, sell it? Or which way are you leaning towards?
We'll probably sell it eventually, but this is a long-term hold.
So a lot of listeners that are kind of listening here, they're kind of the engineering type, and you know they got a day job. So what they're doing is the e-commerce thing where they're setting up an Amazon storefront. Are you doing that with your websites too, or is that maybe a potential partnering opportunity? What I'm kind of thinking of here, it's kind of like if you buy in a 100-unit apartment building and you've got this empty lot next door, build some self-storage facility there, some small one, and then, you know, it's kind of like another revenue stream where, you know, right now you've got this website and you're doing affiliate content, you're optimizing SEO, but maybe you can bring on some other guy who's really good at the Amazon stuff. And a lot of the listeners are probably thinking to themselves, all right, there's these like kind of techniques that you need to acquire throughout the year to do this. And when you're talking about something like, let's just say the social media part or doing a Facebook group, right? Some people don't know how to do that, don't have a clue. What do you know how to do that? Or did you just outsource it? It's kind of like a property manager, right? For a property, right? Like, I have no idea how to do an eviction, to be honest. I don't have a clue, right? Like, I just give it to them and say, go and do it. Is that sort of the same thing that's happening here, or do you have to learn it?
Well, that's why we hired the coach, is we needed one-on-one coaching. You know, there's websites out there that are cheaper. The reason I went with $200,000, that's a mid-level, $200,000 to $500,000. There are websites out there you can buy for less than $10,000, but they're definitely more work.
So where are like the mom-and-pop, the sophisticated mom-and-pop investors going to? Is it kind of the $100,000 to $500,000 range, or
$100,000 to $500,000. Once you get above $500,000, we're starting to see institutional money come in.
Thanks for kind of chatting about this for us. I know it's kind of outside of the real estate realm, and I think for a lot of guys, they live in like California or places where you're not near the action, and this could be an option for investing.
I'm having a lot of fun learning a new area. It's not easy, but it's not so overwhelming.
So you're still working a day job.
That's right. Right?
And you're still doing the apartments a little bit. What's the percentage of like your portfolio of real estate and kind of screwing around and tinkering with this stuff?
I'm about 40% real estate.
Cool. And then we'll get a list of, shoot me over that list of brokers. Then we'll put that in the show notes. All right, guys. Well, we'll catch you next time. Make sure you sign up for that Hulu Deal Pipeline Club. And also, if you're interested in joining our next Mastermind Journey course, 27 weeks of content. But the biggest thing is the bi-weekly coaching calls of myself and the other participants. All right, we'll catch you guys next time. Bye.
This website offers very general information concerning real estate for investment purposes. Every investor situation is unique. Always seek the services of licensed third-party appraisers and inspectors to verify the value and condition of any property you intend to purchase. Use the services of professional title and escrow companies and licensed tax, investment, and or legal advisor before relying on any information contained herein. Information is not guaranteed, as in every investment there is risk. The content found here is just my opinion, and things change, and I reserve the right to change my mind. Above all else, do your own analysis and think for yourself, because in the end, you are the only person who is going to look out for your best interests.
The proceeding is not tax, legal, or investment advice, nor an offer to sell securities or investment products. Always make informed decisions with professional guidance. Get educated and surround yourself with a community at thewealthelevator.com/club.